Our text for this morning's message is from our epistle reading we read a few moments ago. Here James, the brother of Jesus, and comes and says to us, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." Dear friends in Christ, there is a book that came out, in the 80s, and maybe, I think it was the 80s, by a guy by the name of Stephen Covey. I don't know if you guys remember who this is. It's called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Anybody familiar with that book? Okay, it's kind of the self-help managerial style book. It was pretty good. He talks about the different habits that successful managers have had developed over the years in order to become more productive. And if I remember correctly, and I'm pretty sure I do, the very first habit that he talks about in this book is to begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. In other words, find out the result that you want and then figure out the steps that you want to take in order to get to that result. So you begin with that goal in mind. Now for James in our epistle this morning, it's kind of interesting. It's very similar to that. See, the end in our text actually determines the present. In verse 7, which is actually before these passages, it says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains." You see, knowing that the harvest is coming at the end actually determines the farmer's patience each day in the meantime. And that's what James teaches us with life, especially when we know that Jesus Christ, when we know Jesus Christ and the end that he has in store for us. James wants us to understand that the new end that Christ gives us actually reshapes our present. Now, everybody knows that death is the end that shapes our life in the present. That none of us get out of this life alive unless Christ comes first, if you will. Death is inevitable. It's one of those things. What do they say? The two things that you can depend on in life are death and taxes, right? I ain't got to do nothing but die and pay taxes. The problem of thinking that our present can somehow make our future anything we want to be is that we really can't do anything about our end. We can't do anything about death. You see, it's basically, we can prolong it a little bit, but the end is always there in front of us. James here to ask the question, is anyone among you sick? Now, that's not just talking about temporary discomfort or even our regular earthly sickness. Because when we're concerned about sickness, and we're worried about sickness because the end of sickness is death. And I know you don't like me talking about death a whole lot, but the thing is that our end, that death that we think about, can lead us to actually despair for our future. One of the things that can happen is that we can somehow idolize pleasure. You know, the eat and drink for tomorrow we die, as Jesus says in the parable, right? Eat and drink for tomorrow we die. In other words, we can't worry about the future, so we'll just party today. It's a very fatalistic view of life. Sometimes we can even idolize the present, where we say, carpe diem, seize the day, right? Seize the day. Or just do it, our favorite Nike ad. That's another thing that can happen. We can somehow idolize the present. And sometimes, and we see this a lot in our society today, that we surrender to indifference, into a type of nihilism where our life has no lasting, no eternal value. And it really doesn't matter what happens because, you know, we're all going to die anyway and then we'll be gone. Death can also lead us into some kind of zealotry about the future, where we just get into a point of denial about the certainty of our death. And we obsess over youth and health. We have to eat all the perfect things. The latest fad diet has to be there. This will make you look and feel younger. And sometimes we can exalt choice, where we can create our own future. We make our own destiny. We can be whoever we want to be. So in the midst of all of these things that death can, you know, focusing on that can actually lead us to, what do we have? Well, we have Christ. We have our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because He's the way through death. The way through death into a new end. That new end, of course, is the resurrection and the hope of eternal life. So the thing about us Christians is that we live with the end in mind. We know that this life is temporary. Does that mean we're not concerned about the people and the things that are in this life? Of course not. We live to serve. What we do, our life is a life of service. Notice what it says here in our text. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Anointing him with oil. That anointing. It's interesting. The word Messiah in the Old Testament and the word in Hebrew and the word Christus both mean the same thing. They mean the anointed one. So, James here is instructing the people, if you're sick, anoint the sick person with oil in the name of the Lord. Jesus is our anointed one. He actually joins us in our weaknesses and, of course, in our inevitable descent into death. Jesus also died. He was anointed in the first, we celebrated on Monday of Holy Week. When the woman, he's at the Pharisee's house, and the woman comes in and breaks the jar of perfume and washes his feet, anoints his feet and his head with oil. This is always, you see, James here is always calling us forward to the resurrection. Yes, death is our inevitable end, but that's not the end for us. The resurrection, the hope of eternal life, is our end. Christ actually joins us, and He paves a new path out of life and into, out of death and into a new life. Death is not the end. Our goal is the resurrection of the dead. You see, Christ doesn't eliminate death. He actually transforms it for us. He transforms it into the way of life. And notice what it says here. It doesn't say He will heal, that the Lord will heal him. It says, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. Not heal, save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. This is pointing towards the last day, pointing towards Christ coming, returning, and bringing us to be with Him. This end, this new end, actually gives us a new hope. So the sick don't need to end in corruption. They can be healed and restored. The dead don't need to end in decay. They will surely be raised. We will surely be raised. And those who are sinful don't need to end in condemnation. They can be forgiven. Notice the next line there. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. All of these things are pointing us towards what it is that is the goal of the Christian life. Service to others in this life, but also the end of being with Christ with our Lord, with our God, with the God and the Lamb forever. See, our hope is in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because that hope now shapes our present day. We're now free to wait for the harvest like a farmer. We no longer have to worry about it. We're free to, yes, endure some of the sufferings and the trials we face in this life, in our present day, knowing that it's a temporary thing. And we're free to love one another and to lay our lives down for each other and for those that we love. Covey calls it beginning with the end in mind. It's a very different perspective. James gives us this perspective that the end determines our present day. And when we know the beautiful end that Christ has for us, that beautiful end, being with Him forever and ever, it makes our present trials bearable, makes our suffering endurable, and it makes our joy even that much greater as we look forward to the time when we are with Christ forever. So indeed, it's a different life today, a very different life today. Amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen.